Brother Mike this morning as he comes to speak to us.
Certainly thankful to be here this morning. It's good to see everybody, and I want to encourage you this morning to turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. Over the last couple of Sundays that I've been blessed to be able to stand before you, we've been looking at a new perspective on our New Year's resolutions. And as I mentioned several weeks ago now, that it's good to have resolutions, and it's good to think about your own life and explore areas where you can improve and better yourself. But I hope that we've seen from God's word that what we should be doing as the Lord's people is stepping outside of ourselves and seeking how we can serve others. And really, that's the heart of the message of God's word, is serving to magnify and shine the spotlight on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to try to make ourselves better, but we should look around at the situations around us and see how we can minister to other people. Now, we looked at Nehemiah, and you'll remember Nehemiah was a captive in the Medo-Persian Empire, and he was the king's cupbearer, but he was one that was a Jew, and he had spent his whole life in this captivity and spent much of his time serving the king. But he got word about the condition of Jerusalem, how the walls had been broken down and the gates were torn up, and basically it was like the Wild West in that area during Nehemiah's time. And the Bible teaches us that he wept at the condition of Jerusalem, and he sought the Lord and prayed unto the Lord that the Lord would bless him with the ability to help in some way. And a couple of weeks ago we noted that Nehemiah, his countenance had changed, and the king had noticed that his right-hand man was now sad, and he inquired about it, and Nehemiah told the king about his plight and the plight of Jerusalem, and the Lord blessed in an incredible way, and the Lord had been working on this king's heart, and the king released Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem and even provided papers that would provide resources and provide safe passage for Nehemiah. The Lord blessed abundantly. And we left it off in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus Christ, we get to the crux of what our Christian service is to be. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus is saying that a self-serving life is of no profit. Now, certainly, again, we want to strive to improve ourselves, and biblically speaking, I believe that's a commandment for us to do as well. But if everything that we do is just to benefit ourselves, Jesus says that is of no profit, and we will lose our lives, we will lose ourselves. So what I want to continue along is in Nehemiah chapter 2, I want to continue to look at Nehemiah's plight, and now we'll find him in Jerusalem in Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to see the wonderful blessing that Nehemiah is, because he stepped out of himself and had this great desire, this great burden that the Lord put in his heart, and he acted upon it. We'll fast forward a little bit from where we were a couple of weeks ago, but let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2, and we'll start reading at verse 17 and read down to the end of this chapter. Now this is Nehemiah speaking. He said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words which he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Gershom the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. What we have is once Nehemiah leaves the palace of the king, he goes to Jerusalem and he starts surveying out the situation. And I believe what Nehemiah finds is quite possibly worse than the news that was brought to him. The city was in shambles. Now they had rebuilt the temple, but the walls and the gates around Jerusalem, they were torn to pieces. If you read earlier in Nehemiah chapter 2, you'll see that it was in such a condition that Nehemiah couldn't take the beast that he was riding through any passage around those gates. It was torn upside down. And he goes to those. Remember, there had been a remnant of folks along and along that had come back to Jerusalem. He goes to them and he tells them that God has put a burden in my heart for this purpose. And he goes and he encourages those people that were there. Now, they had been there a few generations at that time. He says, we see the distress that Jerusalem is in. Jerusalem lies in waste. And he says to those people, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Now, here's the wonderful blessing as we think about stepping outside of ourselves. And as I've mentioned before, stepping forward and how God has burdened us and minister beyond ourselves, how incredible God will bless. Sometimes it'll be a catalyst for other people. Now, they had rebuilt the temple in a smaller form, but they had gone years and years and years, and the walls around Jerusalem, they were a waste. But here was one man. He goes, let's build up these walls. And he says that God has blessed me. God has been good upon me. God has blessed me to have favor in the eyes of the king. He's provided these resources. He's given us the means. And what happens? The people that were there, they echo Nehemiah's sentiment and say, let us rise up and build. And the Bible says they strengthen their hands for this good work. Sometimes we think that we won't have an impact on anybody else because we don't have a lot of standing in society, or perhaps what we do in our lives is in our own perspective not real significant in the big scheme of things. You may say, well, I don't have a lot of education, or I don't have a lot of resources. I don't have money to donate to any great cause. Well, all this man did was he went forward as the Lord burdened him, and he shared that burden with others, and they went forward. And the Bible says they strengthened their hand for this good work. Now, I believe that principle still applies today. As God's people, whatever God has blessed you with, use it in His service. Use it to minister to others. Whatever God has burdened on your heart as far as ministry, there's nothing insignificant. If God burdens us, and if you know, and we examine our burdens according to the patterns of Scripture, we have a burden and the Word of God gives authority, we need to move ahead by faith that God will bless us. And they do that. And we read about the critics here in Nehemiah chapter 2. They made their appearance earlier in chapter 2. First of all, they were angry because Nehemiah, he came along inquiring about the situation in Jerusalem. They were upset over this, but now they were laughing. They thought, this guy's got to be kidding. And it was no small undertaking to repair these gates and walls. It's not just going in like we have a door here and fixing this door. You're thinking of a grand project. And there were multiple doors. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet of wall that had to be rebuilt. So when they found out what he was going to do, they started laughing. They were critics. Here's another point. As you try to minister to others, there's going to be critics out there all around that's going to discourage you. Who are you to be reaching out like that? You can't have any impact. You can't really do anything of any significance. They laughed, but what happened later on, they started getting worried. And just to fast forward a little bit, the critics are there and they're casting out false accusations. Well, you must be rebelling against the king, and what are you doing here? This is ridiculous. They were scorning them, but their focus was on the Lord and focus on the burden that the Lord had placed upon them. And they say again that we His servants will arise and build. And that happens. You read Nehemiah chapter 3, and it seems kind of repetitive, but what happens is are these people that had been there for quite some time, they organize themselves, they start laboring together, and they rebuild the walls. And it's incredible. They do it in an incredible amount of time. In a short period of time, they were rebuilding those gates, they were rebuilding those walls, and it's always incredible to me, the great organization that went on in Nehemiah chapter 3. They broke off into different sections, and they were working together. They had a military plan. If someone was to come and attack them, somebody was going to blow the trumpet, and everybody would go to wherever the calamity was. They were prepared in that they had their working tools in one hand, and they had their swords in the other hand, and God blessed incredibly. Great things can happen when we step out on faith to minister to others, to minister to other causes beyond our own. Now, here is one characteristic of human nature that I don't like to admit, and you probably don't either. And we as quote-unquote good church-going folks don't like to admit either. We do not like to step out of our comfort zones. And let me say this, don't discount the first part of this because of what I say in the second part, but this is important for us to understand. As God, even as God's people, sometimes we will substitute our devotion for action in the kingdom of God. Now, is devotion important? Absolutely. I hope that you're devoted to the things of God. When I talk about devotion, I'm thinking about our prayer life. I hope that you're praying people. If you're not, you ought to. If you are, pray more. Devotion's important. Reading God's word is important. Our personal conduct is important. Don't get me wrong, but we need to understand that devotion to those things does not necessarily equate to action. You know, sometimes I believe that we're so content to believe the right things and believe the doctrines of God's word, but then we don't ever do anything about it. We will not grow as disciples if we don't put feet to our faith. We will not grow as a church if our devotions, if our understanding of doctrinal truths, if our faithfulness of God doesn't go beyond these four walls and minister to other people. Being a follower of Jesus means that we're doers. Jesus said that himself. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Turn for there for just a minute. There's several places that we can go, but here are the words of our Savior, the words of our Master. If you think that you're just to be a hearer of God's word, notice what Jesus says. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus is saying that when we hear his sayings and then we do them, we live them out, we build on a firm foundation that when trials and tribulations and difficulties, the storms of life come, they can withstand those storms. That dovetails with what we read previously from the Gospel of Matthew. But notice the negative. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I take this to mean that we can have a firm grasp of the doctrinal truth. We can have a firm grasp of how the Lord wants us to conduct ourselves personally. We can have a full understanding of what the pattern for the church is. But if we just hear those words and just keep it as a head knowledge or keep it within ourselves, then it's not going to help us. It's not going to be of benefit. It's not going to be a blessing to others. Now James says, James chapter 1, He says, and speaking to us as God's people, and James is using strong words for what he's going to do in James chapter 1 and verse 21. He's going to preface his comments by basically saying, what I'm about to say, don't just discount it, don't just get angry about it, but take heed. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He's saying, meekly receive this word. And notice what he says when he goes on. Again, it flies contrary to our nature. But be ye doers of the word, and hearers, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then he gives a good illustration that I think that we can all understand. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's using the illustration of looking in the mirror. I hope that you looked in the mirror this morning before you came to church. I'm looking out there. I think everybody did. Sometimes folks look in the mirror longer than they ought to, but you know, all of us, it helps us to take a little bit of time in the mirror. He says that if you're just a hearer of the word and you don't do anything about it, he says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, if you look in that mirror and you don't make any changes or don't make any improvements, it's useless, isn't it? You know, if you get up and you look just like you did when you roll out of bed, and depending on the job you do, I guess you could go to Walmart that way, but if you go to your job, then that's going to be a problem. He's saying here that you need, as God's people, not only to hear it and not make any changes in your life, but you need to hear it and be a doer. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I want to ask the question again I asked a couple of weeks ago. Think about the deeds that you've done. And, you know, you put in one category, the things I've done for me. Again, there's nothing wrong with doing things for yourself. And Brother David said, I went to meddling the other day, so I'm not going to get specific this time. But, you know, think about, well, I just wanted some me time, or I found this that I just wanted this toy. I just wanted this thing for me. How much pleasure did you really get from it? How much lasting pleasure did you get? But when you said, here is a need, perhaps it's with a brother or sister in the church or with one of your neighbors, and you say, well, I see that this person is in some kind of distress, and I want to help them, whatever that may be. You go about doing that. Is not the joy in doing that, the blessing in that, far greater than anything that you do for yourself? Just what John or James is saying here, the man that's a doer of the work shall be blessed in his deed. And notice he goes a little further. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And he says it's pure, notice, pure and unpure religion and undefiled before God is to meet all of your selfish needs. Is that what it says? To just attend to your personal devotion and keep it to yourself, and that's all you're to do. No, it says pure religion and undefiled love before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from this world. See that first part, to visit the fatherless and widows. What he's saying there is that you're to minister outside of yourself. And when it talks about fatherless and widows, I think we can safely replace that with the needs that we see before us. And that includes here in this place where we have individuals that have needs, but it also, I believe, expands out into your neighborhood and into your community. And my friends, there are plenty of opportunities for us as God's people. Right. The walls of Jerusalem were torn down and had been burned down during Nehemiah's time. Well, there's plenty of devastation in this world, plenty of opportunities for us to minister. What a wonderful blessing. And let me say this, as God's people, as with my tongue and my cheek, you know, the fine, upstanding citizens that we are, you know, we're really good at making a point, aren't we? We're really good at pointing out all of the problems and woes in this world. That's why my wife won't let me turn on the news. Or, you know, because I'll start talking back at the television and raising my voice at the television. And, you know, we have all the answers verbally. But we're not following Christ as we ought if we're just, you know, making those type of points, being critical, being judgmental about situations around us. If we're not putting feet to our faith, we're not honoring God. Now I want to go to the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This will probably be the last passage that we go to this morning. Paul, and you know, you read portions of Scripture, and sometimes you just read over it, and you read and study, and you say, "Well, okay, I think I know what that means, and I think I know how to apply it." But you know, have you ever just read a portion of Scripture and just grab a hold of you and thoroughly convict you in your walk with the Lord? I think that's what Paul intended here when he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, Paul is speaking in the first person because I think he's trying to soften a little bit this verbiage that he's going to give out to the church at Corinth. But I want us to read it, and I want us to really think about it in context of what we've just read from the words of Jesus and from the words of James. Paul says this. He says this to those who think that they're religious, those who think they're so holy, those who think that they're so devout. He says, verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, in all of those categories, Paul's talking about good behaviors for God's people. He's talking about devotion. But let's just break it down here just a little bit and look at the impact of Paul's words. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, God blessed the early church in an incredible way. They could speak their words and people from other languages, from other backgrounds, people who have other languages could hear and understand them. Paul and other apostles could hear and understand. They could go to different provinces and hear those people speak and understand them. Though there were a variety of languages and dialects, and Paul steps it up. He says, if I could speak the angels' language. Think about, well, what language do the angels speak? Paul might have said, I don't know, I'm just making an example. But he said, if I could speak the angels' language and understand and hear them, and them hear and understand me, if I don't have charity, I'm just an annoying sound. That is powerful, isn't it? Think about annoying sounds. I made the mistake a couple days ago. I'm going to pick on Gideon here just a minute. Gideon got a little car for Christmas a year or so ago. Well, the batteries have been dead, and I've been putting it off. Put the batteries back in it the other day, and he's zooming it back and forth. It's an annoying sound. You know, we put up with it because we love Gideon, but, you know, you can only take an annoying sound so much. You only take it in small doses. I send him outside to play with his little car. Think of other annoying sounds. Your alarm clock. I've got an alarm clock on my phone that wakes me up, and it annoys me every time it wakes me up. My secretary has her ringtone set to my alarm clock, so I get annoyed every time her phone rings. Here's the bottom line. If you know, we can have great devotion, incredible devotion, but if we don't have charity, and what is charity? love in action. You know, I can have the tongues of men and angels, but I'm just going to be annoying if I don't have love in action. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
Right.
Let me say this. I don't have all the answers. Brother David might. You can check with him. Now, he doesn't have all the answers either. But if I did, if you had a problem, you came, Brother Michael, I've got this problem, and I said, well, here's how you can solve that problem. Here's the steps to resolve that problem. If I had faith to remove mountains and was very, very convincing and seemed to be very devout and seemed to be very astute on the things of God, Paul says this again, this is incredible. If I don't have charity, love and action, I am nothing. And then he takes it to another extreme, and I think he takes it to an extreme to make an extreme example. He goes on, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, he's not just saying if I just give a portion of what I have to minister to other people, or if I give a certain percentage, he says if I sold everything that I own, my home, my car, my clothes, everything except clothes on my back, and I give that to the poor. And then he says, even if I give my body to be burned, if I sacrifice my physical body, to me it doesn't really get much more extreme than that, than to die for your faith. He says, if I do not have charity, if I do not have love in action, it is profitless. That is incredible to think about. That ought to resound in our minds as we examine our service to God. And let me say this. If you don't have charity in your life, if you don't have that love in action, bottom line, it does all come down to you. It's all about you if you don't have that. Paul is saying here that our service to God, our devotion should not just be measured vertically. You know, we indeed believe that in a relationship with God through the study of His Word, through prayer, through the assembling of yourselves together here. We believe that. We want you here. We want you praying. We want you reading God's Word. We want you growing in your walk with the Lord. But it also needs to be a horizontal devotion. That is what the Lord wants us to do as we serve Him as His people. And if we're not engaged in that others-oriented love, we are nothing. We are of no good. Our service is meaningless. Our service lacks purpose as God's people. Let me tell you, if you are more intent and more focused on making a point than making a difference and ministering to other people, you profit nothing.
That's right.
You're just going to annoy people.
You know,
I believe that's one of the conditions. If we look at Christianity as a whole today, you look at Christianity in our country, you know, in other parts of the world, it's abounding and growing. But in our country, it's on a sharp decline. And I think a lot of it is because we claim to know everything, and you know, we claim to be devout, we claim to be holy, but we don't ever do anything about it. And I tell you, that will annoy the life out of people. We're just going to be annoying if we don't put feet to our faith, if we don't put motion to our devotion. That is what Paul is saying here. He says, "If I speak with the tongues of angels and men and have not charity, I become a sounding brass, I become a tinkling cymbal, I'm just an annoying sound." And my friends, we live in a time as God's people. I think as we look at the church, Lord's blessed us here, and I'm so thankful for this place. I go to other places, and every time I go somewhere, I thank God for McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. I go to places, and churches are declining. Churches are at the brink of closing their doors. And it's not because of doctrinal error. The root of all of it goes back to our devotion ends up being just vertical and not horizontal. If we're just vertical here in this place, pretty soon it's going to be us four and no more. As God's people, we should desire to honor Him better than that. What a wonderful blessing. Our devotion to God as God's people is really authenticated by our love for others. Do you get that? People see our faith by our works towards them. I can tell you what I believe and share with you what I believe and witness to you what I believe, but if I don't show it in love and how I treat my neighbor, how I treat those that I come into contact with that are seeking the things of God, it is meaningless. And that has to take us out of our comfort zone as God's people, but that's okay. I was thinking about this just this morning. When we look at the nature of God and what He's done for us, there's so much that we can be thankful for, so much that we can rejoice in.
Yeah.
But you think about this. You think about what are you most grateful for about God? You know, there's a lot of things that we can think about. And think about this. Are you most grateful as a child of God? Are you most grateful for God's sinless perfection? That's something to be grateful for indeed. But are you most grateful for that? Or are you most grateful for God's intervention on our behalf as His children through His Son, Jesus Christ? I'm thankful to know that our God is a perfect God. Our God is a sinless God, and sin can't stand before His presence. My friends, I'm most thankful that he came down and dwelt among us and what? Sacrificed Himself for our sins. Yes, we rejoice in the attributes of God and rejoice in the characteristics of God, but I tell you, I'm really thankful that God came down and did what I was unable to do and bore my sins.
Amen.
And if anyone didn't have to, it was God.
Yeah.
But He did. He stepped down from heaven's immortal glory, from perfect fellowship in the Godhead, from all glory and all honor, and came down and was born of the Virgin Mary and lived a sinless life for us.
Right.
He did that for us. And as you read about the life of Jesus Christ, though some of those very ones that he laid down His life for, the elect of God, were so dense around Him. I remember the apostles; they didn't get it. You know, they followed Him and served Him, but ultimately, I don't think they got it. The religious elite of that day. Now you want to see an example of someone that was all about personal devotion and did not care about how they treated others or how they impacted others. You know, study the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were all about that vertical devotion, and they had gotten off kilter on that, and they were horrendous to Christ. And I believe even some of those were God's children. And then at the end of His life, as He was going to lay down His life for the sins of His people, were there some there that were crying out about the injustice? They had all forsaken Him. Well, what about His apostles? They were gone. What about His inner circle of the apostles? No, Peter cursed and denied Him. But what did he do? He sacrificed Himself for our sins. I like studying and speaking and meditating upon many of the attributes of God, but I am most grateful for God's sacrificial intervention on our part.
Amen.
And that's really the epicenter of the gospel truth. God did something for us. My friends, can we not, as God's people, but through the Spirit of God that dwells within us, step out of our comfort zone and put feet to our faith, put motion to our devotion, and honor God, and we do that. Again, we authenticate. Remember, we authenticate our devotion to God and the things of God by our love for others. Can we not do that? Not just keep it vertical, but keep it horizontal as well. And as God's people, He is pleased in doing that.
Yeah.
And I'll close with this. Matthew chapter 25, as we have the glorious words of Jesus. He's speaking about His second coming, but He gives us a pattern of what His sheep, the actions of His sheep, and it's incredible. He in Matthew chapter 25, he speaks about His sheep and talks about the patterns of behavior for His sheep, and there's the question that's brought up. Lord, when have we done these things? And He says, Matthew 25 and verse 40, and we'll close here. He says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren,
right,
ye have done it unto me. I pray that we as individuals would take that to heart. I pray that we as a church would take that to heart. That we're to be about ministering to one another. And again, sometimes we think, well, my burden's not that significant. I tell you what, if the Lord's burdened you to minister to one person, it's significant to that one person.
Yeah.
And He says, for us as children of God, as His sheep, when we do that for one person, we have done it unto Him. May we have the attitude of Nehemiah and those that followed him. May we have that attitude to rise up and build and minister to others. I pray the Lord would add His blessing.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Most of the folks, I guess probably if you were to put it on a graph of folks that are members of McClenny Church or related to folks that are members of McClenny Church, folks that are not members of McClenny Church, just, you know, folks in our community or other communities, if you put it on a graph, I probably spend more time on the phone in people's houses and hospitals with folks who are not members of McClenny Church. That's a fact. That is. You all are so afraid that you're going to call me and burden me. You're so wonderful. And every once in a while, out of great concern, someone here will say, you know, you just don't need to worry with those other folks. No, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I asked, this has been about 6 months ago, somebody here, you know who you are, very caring, very lovingly said, listen, I'm very concerned about the amount of time that you spend out at night and on weekends. You have to slow down. And most of those folks you're seeing are just what I said. They're not members anyway. Very sweet. It was very sweet. They're very worried for me. I appreciate that. And I asked them this question. I said, do you expect me to share the Word of God with them? They knew I was trying to trick them, and I was. I said, do you expect me to share the Word of God with them? Of course, Brother David, you're a minister. And I looked at them, and I said, well, let me tell you this. After almost 45 years of ministry, I have found people don't care what I know until they know that I care.
Amen.
You got that?
Yeah.
People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And that's why the church has two areas of ministry, and our brother has hearkened to one of them this morning. And you all are very good at these. The church has word ministry. That's what Brother Mike was involved in, word ministry this morning. He's preaching the word. But the church in the book of Acts is full of it. The church has a responsibility to deed ministry, doing for others. What does that mean? It means baby showers, housewarmings, food at funerals, food when our loved ones are sick, when your neighbor's sick, listening to the somewhat irritating employee at work whose third marriage is coming apart and you told them so on the first two, and you listen again. That's deed ministry, bearing one another's burdens. And let me say, if you'll hang with them, in their weakness, in their annoying tendencies, and just blunders. And they come back, and I know you told me, and I blundered. If you'll hang with them, and you'll sow God's word in their heart, it'll begin to work.
Yeah.
Deed ministry makes a difference. People, I'm telling you, people riding up and down that road in the main don't care what we know in here. But if we reach out into their lives, into their homes, into their houses where they're hurting and they need help, they will, once they find out that we care, they will care what we know. They will. You got to love them first, and then they'll listen to you, right? We have to purchase the right through service for people to hear us. Now, we believe they need truth. Truth stabilizes your life like nothing else, doesn't it? Knowing that God's in charge, he's intimately involved, and heaven's my home, and nothing can separate me from love of God, which is in Christ. They need to know that, but they're not going to hear that until they know you care. We got to serve them. We got to meet them where they're at. Secondly, about Brother Mike, I asked him to save me a couple of minutes. This is nothing that I intended to share with you, but I'm not going to detract away from what you said this morning. It's too important. It's where we live. It's the difference. It's the other half of the church that's not full this morning, what that brother preached today. If we do that well over the next 20 years, we won't just remodel. We're about to gut the church and remodel. If we'll do that over the next 20 years, we won't just have to remodel. We'll have to sell this place and go build another one. And I'm for that. That means that we're serving people, that we're making a difference in people's lives. I'm not about filling up pews. I'm about helping God's people in this world. And what that brother preached this morning, that's what makes the difference. We got to serve them. They got to know that we care. Secondly, I read it and I hear it. Young folks in school and in college, you hear from your professors, the Bible is an irrelevant book, correct? You hear that all the time, right? The Bible's not relevant anymore. We need something more than the Bible. We don't need the Ten Commandments. We need Ted Turner's 10 Suggestions. That's what he said. Ted's 10 said Ten Commandments. More relevant. The Bible just doesn't impact today. I thought while Brother Mike was reading his scripture, y'all know where I'm going. What's the most relevant, timely topic in America today? A wall. A wall being built. So Brother Mike reads about this national leader that's worried about protecting his nation, wanting to protect his nation from enemies by building a wall, and you have these two kind of outside leaders that are saying, no, the wall's not good. Right. Nothing relevant about that, is there? I'm not going to say where God stands on the wall with Mecca. I'm just saying the Bible talks about things we're interested in today. Amen? He was for Nehemiah building a wall and protecting a nation. God's not against us being protected. He's not. He's not against it at all. The Bible's the most relevant book in history because it's God's word. God knows what we would need in advance before it ever came, before the ill ever came. God sent the cure, and he gave us his precious word. Consider it. Thank you, Brother Mike, for your preaching this morning. Okay. You've been ministering in the heart of somebody in your life somewhere. Be bold enough this week to say, listen, this is the weekend. This weekend coming up is the weekend to introduce you to the most glorious story you're ever going to hear in your life. It's the most unimaginable thing that you've ever heard. You're going to hear somebody say that you've done all the sinning and God's done all the saving. This week, encourage somebody to come to our meeting this weekend for the first time ever. There's nothing like sharing the truth of God's grace with somebody. It's wonderful. It's precious. If you've never done it, encourage someone to come this weekend. Please be in great prayer for our meeting beginning on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Pray for those dear men. But if you feel like it's a long time between now and then, you've got an opportunity before that, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You can come and rejoice in the glorious truth of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. Brother Jay, would you come? And if you're here this morning, you want to follow the Lord, you want to be identified with the cause of God and truth in this place, we want you. We want you to come and let it be known. We'll